Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Shelley Wilson Show. I am an intuitive medium, a Reiki master, and a spiritual teacher. My mission is to assist others on their own journey into consciousness and encourage them to live an authentic life through awareness and empowerment. Coming from a place of respect, truth, integrity, and love, I honor your free will and recognize that you are co-creating your reality with the universe. My intention is to bring understanding, help you to heal from the past, and realize your full potential. I invite you to begin your life in a new way and tap into your inner power as you explore who you really are. Refrain from simply existing and elect to live your life fully without regret. It is time to let go of the past, live in the present, and look to the future, for it is this attitude that will transform you. Today's special guest is Annie Kagan, author of The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. Annie is a chiropractor and songwriter living in Manhattan who abandoned her hectic life, city life, in search of serenity in a small, secluded house by the bay. When her brother Billy died unexpectedly and began speaking to her from the afterlife, Annie agreed to accompany him on his journey through the mysteries of death. As Billy reaches from the other side to change his sister's life and the lives of those around her, he shares secrets about the bliss and wonders to come in the afterlife. The fascinating true story of her ongoing after-death communication with her brother Billy is recounted in her debut book, The Afterlife of Billy Fingers, How My Bad Boy Brother Proved to Me There Is Life After Death. And I would like to welcome Annie to today's show.
Good to be here.
Thank you, Annie. And I would love to let the listeners know as well that this is a special interview for Om Times magazine, so omtimes.com. And we're looking forward to the article that will be in an upcoming issue along with this audio file. So welcome, Annie.
Thank you.
And so to begin with, I know that this book has been very important in your life, as well as the experiences that you have had prior to writing it, as well as what has happened during and since writing it. And I know that many people are fascinated with this conversation that you had with your brother. And I would like for you to tell the listeners a little bit more about how it all began.
Yes, well, it really began without much planning on my part. I had been a chiropractor in New York City, and after maybe 7 or 8 years of being a chiropractor, I began to find it really stressful. I was very compassionate and very involved in the healing of my patients. And in a way, I kind of began to get sad from working with people who are always in pain. So I decided to take up meditation to really strengthen myself. Mm-hmm. And quite unexpectedly, a patient showed up who had this amazing energy, and it turned out he had a meditation teacher and he had been meditating. So it was almost like, well, the teacher showed up, I learned to meditate, and then to my surprise, instead of being able to go to work and feel stronger, the opposite kind of happened. And I began to become very, very sensitive, more sensitive to actually people's energy and picking up their emotions, and at the same time living in New York City with the pace and the stimulation and the overstimulation, began to feel like way too much for me. And I decided to sell my practice to, I found a small house by the bay, and without really knowing what I was going to do in the future, I guess I kind of thought, well, maybe I would go back to music and start writing music. I took a great leap of faith, and I had no idea that my life was kind of setting the stage for this great adventure to come. And after I moved, I had been planning to do all these hours of meditation, which I did, but then my brother Billy, who had been missing for quite a few years, got in touch with me, and he was in really bad shape. He was actually living in Venezuela, and he had gone back to his addictions, and I literally had to send a search party to bring him back to the States, and then began several years of really trying to help him be okay and overcome his addictions. But that didn't work out, and he died when he was hit by a car in the middle of the night while he was running across a highway. So all of that was nothing that I had planned on, nothing that felt very good. And then 3 weeks after he died, just as the sun was coming up, I heard his voice calling my name very distinctly. Annie, get up. It's me. It's Billy. And of course, Shelley, I thought I was dreaming.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, Billy, you know, I must be dreaming because you're dead. You really can't be here. And he said, no, really, it's me. Get a notebook. And then I realized that I'm awake, and I started transcribing his words. And that was at the beginning of an amazing journey, his journey through the afterlife, and my journey along with him.
Wow. And I know in that moment, I can feel that obviously the moment of surprise and disbelief, but in the same sense, you trusted. And so I commend you for that, because for some people, they would continue to doubt that kind of communication. But
I definitely doubted. I mean, when he spoke to me, the beautiful energy that he was experiencing, because according to Billy, the afterlife is an incredible place of bliss. The energy and the bliss that he was experiencing literally flowed into me, and instead of feeling completely grief-stricken, I felt euphoric. But then after he spoke to me, I had many, many doubts and a lot of skepticism, and I thought that maybe somehow I was manufacturing his voice in my head to make me feel better about my grief and his death. And actually, it took many visits, and it took many confirmations, because Billy promised he would prove to me that he was real, and he did so in many ways that I really couldn't ignore. So the truth is, I was very skeptical at first.
And then you knew. You just absolutely knew that based on the signs that he was giving you, that he was very much there with you. And I think that's something a lot of people, you know, and I refer to it as our humanness, that our humanness tends to analyze everything that we can't see or everything that we can't feel or touch or know. But as you said, he very audibly came through so that you could hear his voice and connect to him in that manner.
And at the same time, it seemed completely impossible. And even now when I think about it, that someone is really speaking to me from another dimension, that there are other worlds, mm-hmm. and that somehow communication can go back and forth between our world and other higher worlds, mm-hmm. I have to say, it's still, when I think about it, it's it's wild.
Yeah.
And it's,
It is. And I can tell you as a medium myself, you know, connecting with spirit. And when I term spirit, I use that to talk about loved ones who have passed and our angels and guides. I can tell you even for myself that there is a lot of disbelief only because it's like I really have to trust that this information, that I'm not just making it up, that it's really coming through and get out of the way. And a lot of mediums even say, you know, don't read the mail, just deliver it. I think John Edwards says that quite a bit. But the thing is we want to just trust. Don't read the mail, just deliver it. And John Holland says that we're the tube. So you being that vessel, that channel for your brother and bringing through this information in this magnificent book. And I have to say, just feeling the energy of it, I love the image on the front and feeling that excitement. Is this actually an image of your brother?
Yes, that's actually an image of my brother. And I actually, the publisher wanted a different cover. And when I found that picture of Billy, I'm like, no,
that's perfect
because, as my friend said, you look at the cover and you go, wow, this isn't my grandfather's heaven. This is something different. But it's really funny, Shelley, because I never think of myself as a medium or a channel because I always think of a medium or a channel as the energy is coming through them.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's like I'm having this conversation, so the energy is like Billy's outside of me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that qualifies me as being a medium, but it feels more like I'm just me having a conversation.
Right. Well, however you want to look at it, Annie, you're obviously connecting to the other side, connecting to your brother, and having these conversations. And even just looking through the book, as I said, first of all, just feeling the energy and seeing this exuberant, joyful face on him, I recognize that, you know, his life was probably not always happy. But the thing is once he got to the other side, a lot of healing occurred.
A lot of healing occurred. And even though Billy had enormous difficulties in his life, and very specifically, he had a romance addiction with drugs, and then later drugs and alcohol, he was a very, very happy, joyous, loving person who I would say, you know, the subtitle of the book is Bad Boy Brother, How My
mm-hmm.
Bad Boy Brother Proved to Me. And he was always kind of the wild one. The picture on the cover is actually a picture of him when he got his first motorcycle.
Love it.
And I was more the good girl. And the truth is, in a way, he enjoyed life more than I did, because he, no matter what his difficulties, he really had his own way of seeing things and dealing with things and loving people and connecting with people. And so, you know, the other side, though, you're right, when the last years of his life, though, were quite painful. And from what Billy tells us, the other side is an atmosphere that is so blissful and beautiful and healing that it's something our minds can't even fathom. And so, yes, he says in the beginning, I think it's the first time, that as soon as the car hit him, because, again, he was killed by being hit by a car, that he was sucked right out of his body and the lights touched him. And the first nanosecond that the lights touched him, all his pain, physical, emotional, mental, all the pain of his lifetime was actually healed in that one flash. So, yes, his picture of what happens even to people who die in pain, even to people who die with enormous struggles, is, you know, the kindness and love of the divine.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people, you know, we think about heaven. And, you know, we also have that alternative that a lot of people fear. But I personally believe that heaven is all around us, and heaven is how we perceive it to be. And, you know, that's a term for the other side, and we can create it. And also, I very much believe that once we pass from this world to the next, once our soul leaves our physical form, that a healing occurs, that there is a life review, and that we see and feel and experience everything that we did in moments. You know, it's hard to recognize the time, the linear time span, because it is so much different on the other side. But I definitely, and even speaking with my friend Danian Brinkley, who I see has also written a recommendation for this book, he talks about his own experiences and how his time on the other side. Now, obviously, he just had a near-death experience because Danian is still with us.
Yes.
But recognizing that, you know, that a lot of healing and things that we experienced here during our lifetime as who we are now, we can very much change once we get to the other side, and we can see those experiences that we had for what they truly are.
Yes. Danian and I had lunch, and we discussed this very topic of life review. And one of the differences that Billy reports is Billy reports seeing his whole life around him like a hologram, and he's able to focus on whatever parts he wants to focus on. And he's also able to see the different paths that he didn't take. So, for example, if you wanted to marry someone and you didn't, like your first love, you get to really experience what that particular life would have been like.
Wow.
And he said the strange thing from his perspective, and it's a different perspective because I think it's really different when people have near-death experiences, because they really are remembering and they're coming back into their body, and, you know, they're meant to go on with their life, where Billy is not really coming back. And so he reports, you know, that's another reason, Shelley, I knew that it's Billy and not me, because he says things that I would never say. So one of the things that he reports is that, you know, when you're reviewing your life after you die, you're looking through what he calls divine colored glasses. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a very Buddha-like way where you understand why you did the things you did, and you're not moralistic or judgmental in any way. You're just observing. Mm-hmm. And then what to me was really fascinating was, you know, he's talking about looking here and looking there. And then at a certain point he says, but you know what? All of a sudden I realized that here I am in this beautiful divine universe, and looking back on the life that I lived is not as fascinating as being in the moment. And so he really taught me that, you know, because I'm always trying to imitate a little bit what he does, the lessons that he teaches me. I try to imitate him over here. And like, wow, like no matter what path you take or what you've done, you're still in the present moment. And the present moment is really the creative moment, the creative opportunity, and more interesting than what we've left behind. So that to me was a really big lesson that my bad boy brother taught me. It's really about now.
And I love that you're validating that, because, Annie, that is something that I very much practice and teach for myself, and something that I didn't always do. But, you know, we think about the past and things that coulda, woulda, shouldas, and then regress, and then we focus on the future and things that are going to happen. But where we need to be is in this present moment, right here, right now, because that's when we create our future state of being. And we can't change the past. We can only change our perception of the experiences that we've had. But I definitely recognize from my perspective that there are no mistakes, that every experience we've had, even those challenging ones, are all opportunities for learning and growth. And that's what makes us who we are today.
Yes, I love that you say that, because that's all about viewpoint. And it's funny also because, you know, Billy always says, well, what you consider mistakes, it's okay. It's just part of being on Earth. You know, sometimes you do it one way, sometimes you do it another way. It's all just experience. But what you've just said is one of the very important things that I've learned, is that perspective is everything. So yeah, you could take the same situation and view it one way, or view it a way that makes you feel better, that empowers you. And I think that that, of all the lessons, may be the most important one for me, is to look at the things that have happened or look at the moment, even if it's extremely challenging. And I've had many, many challenges and still do, but to view it in a way that empowers you, that enables you to move forward feeling your strength, not feeling like a victim.
Exactly. And you know, I always say that there's two ways to view everything, through the eyes of love or through the eyes of fear. And depending on how we view those things is how our experience is going to be. So seeing things from that higher vibration of love, and allowing ourselves to recognize that we are these spiritual beings having this human life experience, that there are going to be things that we do that we think later, what were we thinking? But it's okay. We have to let go of any guilt or regret or shame. You know, anything, you know, and I'm talking about getting that moral thing out of the way, getting the societal conditioning and things like that. This is just allowing ourselves, each one of us, to not be in judgment of ourselves and to also not judge one another. That is very important, in my opinion.
I agree 100%. And two things. There's tremendous freedom in choosing your own viewpoint. Tremendous freedom in seeing things the way you want. Billy always says, don't live your life by what you think others think. And there's tremendous joy in really looking through your own eyes. And the other thing that I really like is, you know, we always think that we could stand in another person's shoes, and that in a way can make us more judgmental, because, oh, if I was them, I would do this. But the truth is, you never really, really, really can stand in somebody else's shoes. You don't know what their soul is doing here. Like he says, you know, so many people judged him when he was alive for his problems with drug addiction. But actually, drug addiction was one of the things he came here to explore. Now, right, in our human minds, that's crazy.
Exactly.
Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody come here to, like, you know, deal with addiction problems? Or why would anybody come here to deal with a disease problem? You know, someone that I spoke to found so much comfort in Billy's message. He said, because he has rheumatoid arthritis, you know, and certain ways of looking at it would say, well, somehow you've created this, and you've created this as a punishment for yourself, or you've created this out of your negative thinking. And he said, no, in a way, it's been a gift to his life. It's changed the way he views things. And it's so freeing to think of it that, you know, he came here to explore this life circumstance that certainly doesn't make sense from a human point of view.
Right.
And so I think it takes a lot of the shame and the blame out of, you know, what we deal with on a daily basis. It's not that we've created something negative. It's like, wow, this is in my life, and how can I deal with this? You know, how can I use my wonderful creativity to deal with this challenge? And so I think it's a very kind way of looking at things.
Yes, most definitely. And the thing is, going back, Annie, to what you were saying, you know, we definitely, as much as we think we can put ourselves in someone else's shoes, it is impossible because, as you said, we don't know what their journey is. And on a soul level, we definitely do plan for ourselves what our lessons will be during this lifetime, but our humanness doesn't remember. Our soul level knows. And those around us who may not agree with our choices, our actions, behaviors, anything like that, you know, once again, even we don't always understand why we're having the experiences that we have. But the more that we work on raising our vibration, heightening our awareness, paying attention, and seeing these experiences as opportunities for learning and growth, and go with the flow, not get caught up into another person's vortex, so to speak, and just allow ourselves to be present in this moment, for me, is all why we are here, why we came to Earth School to begin with.
Oh, that's really beautiful. I really like the way you express that. Yeah, I mean, nobody can really understand all the different aspects and all the different facets of our life. And for me, I judge people a lot less. And that also doesn't mean that I have to like them, that I have to agree with them.
Right.
Really, it's just like, but I can let them be more. And also, of course, you know, I'm human. I have feelings about things that people do. I'm not happy when people hurt other people. That's a really difficult one for me to accept. And that's something I have to say that I don't understand with my own human mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what I've learned is that divine consciousness is not the same as the human mind.
Exactly.
And that I'm limited and that I don't understand and that there is so much that I don't understand. And that not understanding, in a funny way, is a gift. Because I don't feel like I have to figure the whole thing out. I could kind of live, what does Billy say? Something like, life is a divine, mysterious impulse to be tasted and released. It's like I can experience. I'm not always going to understand why things happen, but I'm going to try to live them as best as I can.
And that's beautiful as well. And the thing is, too, I say this a lot, we can't control what is beyond our control. And from my perspective, the only thing that we can truly control is our actions, our emotions, our thoughts, our words, and our reactions. So everyone is having their own experience, and sometimes we just have to allow them to have it without making any assumptions or any judgment or anything like that. Just observe it and allow it and then let go of attachment to it. And as we do, it assists us greatly because, once again, we're not getting caught up. We can let people be who they are.
Yes, and one of my favorite, another favorite lesson is what Billy taught me about the shadow side of life. Because, of course, he's the bad boy and I'm the good girl. And for me, I was always waiting for life to be what I considered perfect before I could have a really good time. And so, you know, the perfect summer afternoon with the picnic and no rain and no clouds. Like, nothing spoiling my perfect picture
perfect.
Of what reality should be. And, you know, Billy says at one point, you know, princess, because he calls me princess, he's like, you know, it can't always be no shadow. Noon only happens at one point during the day. So, you know, if you have the beautiful breeze, sometimes you're going to have tornadoes. And if you have the beautiful sea, sometimes you're going to have storms. And so, therefore, there's this shadow element to life, to
myself,
to myself, and to other people. And I think that, like, when it comes to other people, I don't have this expectation anymore that they should be the way I want them to be, that they should be, quote, perfect. And so there's so much more room within me to accept people in life on life's terms and on their terms. And one of the things he talks about is the true unconditional love that we receive in the higher worlds, and that, you know, whatever we call unconditional love on earth is not really unconditional, because we're humans and
right.
We have conditions and we have a shadow side. He said, but, you know, true unconditional love is the most healing. That's the way you're healed. You're understood, you're loved. And he says that even the parts of you that aren't so-called perfect, you know, they're understood, and you're just seen as a beautiful being. And that acceptance really is what heals your soul.
Beautiful. And I can say, just in our conversation, Annie, that undoubtedly this book has had an amazing effect on not only you, but also on the numerous readers that have made the conscious choice to read this book. I'm sure that you've had lots of wonderful feedback from it.
I have, Shelley, and I think of this whole experience of writing the book, which I didn't want to do because I really wanted to very much keep the experience to myself. And then Billy put different people in my path who I wound up telling the story to, and it was always like so important to them.
To
like the first person was, you know, when Billy first started to talk to me, I only told a handful of my closest friends, maybe five or six people. So, and then I went on a trip and I was having a massage, and Billy had been a massage therapist, and I was so relaxed that I decided to tell the massage therapist, Vincent, about the book and about Billy. It wasn't a book then, just about the story. And when the massage was over, Vincent was crying. And I said, well, and he told me that he had a younger sister who was something like 18 years old, and she just got sick and suddenly died a couple of months ago. And he felt that I was a messenger from her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how much it meant to him. And I hear that over and over and over again now. And that's the happiest and most thrilling part for me, is that Billy really is reaching so many people who've lost loved ones, and also people who just really dig his very street cred way of giving these, you know, ancient spiritual truths in very down-to-earth modern ways. And so when he was talking to me, I was having these amazing inner experiences, and now people are reporting that they're having experiences. And on Facebook, because we have this like really active conversation, I think I have like 54,000 people.
Wow.
Since January alone, like with Billy's wisdom and talking, and they're all like, hey, Billy, hi, Billy, thank you, Billy. You know, that's so great for me, because I definitely feel that he's much more the star of this show than I am.
Well, I think, you know, Annie, both of you, first of all, for you having the courage to share this story, because I can imagine when you were guided just to share it with just a few close friends, that even then you were apprehensive of what they would think when you shared this story.
You know, that wasn't the biggest, I was very scared. I had a lot of fear. But I'm kind of the kind of, I'm a little bit like Billy in that I'm not so concerned always with how I look in people's eyes. But two things concern me more. One is that when I learned to meditate, I was cautioned that I really should not share my spiritual experiences, that you're really supposed to keep your spiritual experiences to yourself. And I felt like this was a spiritual experience, and then my friend convinced me, no, it's Billy's spiritual experience.
Yes.
So it's okay. And then the other thing was, I felt like there are things that Billy told me that I don't really think show up anywhere else. And if death, if these kind of details about death were supposed to be known, they would already be known. And I didn't really want to be the one to say this in the world, to put these ideas in the world, because it felt kind of taboo.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really, really scary to me. And then when I would get scared and really into my drama about, you know, oh, this is too intense, I can't say it, then Billy would always be kind of the bad boy fooling around with me and convince me that I was just being way too serious about the whole thing, that it wasn't really the big drama that I thought it was. And that's also what he's always doing to me all the time, is kind of teasing me, like, hey, honey, it's not that serious as you're making it all. It's not so important. It's not so dramatic. You know, it's kind of like, I guess you would call it like ego, you know, or I tend to think of it more of being a drama queen, you know, that's like just amping it up. It's not, you know, it's more simple than that. It's not such a big deal.
Well, the thing is, you know, whenever we put a message out, whether it's just having a conversation with someone or writing an article or even doing the radio show now, we can't control how other people are going to receive that information. So even though it may not totally be fearful, still in the back of our human minds, we're like, okay, how are people going to receive this? And so that's what I feel that you were going through, bringing forward this new information. You know, it's easy to be the second person in line, but to be at the forefront, to be number one saying, here we go, this is what, you know, my brother's saying, and what do you think about it? And, you know, whether you care about the opinion or not, people are still going to offer it. And so it does take a lot of courage.
That's beautifully put. Maybe I had those feelings and didn't even know it, you know. And also, I just felt like people would kind of spoil the experience for me a little bit because it was so personal. And I knew that people would have all kinds of thoughts and feelings about it. And is she making it up? Isn't she making it up? You know, but there's so much proof in the book. And you know, along with the conversations, I just want the listeners to know there are also these things called evidentiary after-death communications, which means that Billy tells me, gives me information that I don't know that turns out to be true every time. And often they involve other people, like he'll give me a clue. You know, one of the great stories was my friend Tex was one of the people I told, and you know, one day I'm having lunch and Billy says, call Tex and tell her, show me the money. Well, that's kind of ridiculous. What does that mean? But I did it anyway. And when I told her, she said, wow, like this morning I was asking Billy for a sign that he was real. And I came back from the beach and I took a shower. And after the shower, I'm dancing in front of the mirror with a towel, like in Jerry Maguire, saying, show me the money, show me the money. And I get out of the shower and you call and Billy says, show me the money.
Yeah.
So
that's good validation.
Things like that. Yeah. I mean, it just happened so many times. And without that aspect, without those proofs, I wouldn't have put the book out there. I wouldn't have felt that, I don't know, I wouldn't have had the confidence to know that Billy was real.
Right. And then it wasn't just your imagination bringing this information through. And the thing is it is actually our imagination that we utilize to get this information from the other side, because spirit uses what's in our databanks. And brings us those thoughts and those memories, and sometimes audibly words and visions and such, and that's how they can bring that information through, and even connecting electronically, whether they make the phone ring a half a ring or lights flashing or even messing with our computer and things like that, they can communicate with us in that manner as well.
Yeah, I think that that's so important, and I think what you're saying about imagination is important, because when people lose a loved one, it's really good to be open to the way they communicate. And it may not be as obvious as what Billy did, because Billy's writing a book. But, like, people will talk to me and they'll say, you know, every time I see this particular color butterfly, I think about my mother. And the butterfly comes and goes, and then every day when I go outside, I see the same color butterfly, and, you know, my imagination is telling me, or my heart is telling me, you know, it's a sign from my mother, but is it just my imagination? And what you're saying is true, like your imagination and your senses and your intuition, let's say, mm-hmm. are the way they use to communicate with us. So, you know, by being open to what you feel inside, that doesn't mean that you're making it up. It's just a way to begin to open your channels to really connect with the other side. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, absolutely. And even Sonia Choquette refers to that as, you know, tapping into that and utilizing that imagination to bring forth that information. But it's not that you're imagining it. It's a different concept, but we're using what we have.
Yes. Yes, that's very important. And also, you know, Joseph Campbell, the great Joseph Campbell, talks about the fact that since the very beginning of time, through all cultures, there's been a belief in the afterlife. And that if something is that prevalent, there has to be truth to it. And today, a lot of that information comes from near-death experiences, and that's because there are so many ways to resuscitate people these days. But before that, people always believed that their ancestors protected and guided them from the other side. And I used to think that was kind of superstitious. But now I know that it really happens. And if you look at the statistics, 1 in 4 people in our society, which isn't really that open to it, but even in our society, 1 in 4 people say that they have had some kind of sign from the other side. So it's really quite a prevalent occurrence.
Yes, and I know a lot of individuals refer to their loved ones who have passed as their angels or their guardian angels and such, and you know, that is a wonderful term, but in essence, recognizing that angels actually haven't been incarnated, but we still think of our loved ones as those watching over us, and that's what they do. They are here to let us know, even though they don't have a physical body anymore, that they're still around us, that they are still very much a part of our lives. It's just a matter of we recognize it and pay attention, because the communication sometimes can be very profound and very obvious, but sometimes and most often than not, it's very subtle, very gentle.
That's very true. And also in a lot of the Asian cultures, I think it's called ancestral veneration, which is what I've experienced with Billy, is that, you know, your ancestors or your loved ones are wiser and more powerful now that they're on the other side. They're kind of the better part of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, paying attention to the little signs, if you start with the smaller signs and you really let them in, I think the signs and the conversations get more profound. I heard a story the other day from a friend of mine who, of course, never told me this before, and he knew that I wrote a book, and he asked me for a copy of the book. And he told me that his mother had died when he was very young, like 12 or 13, and he really loved his mother, and he was kind of alone in the world after that, and he was hanging out with kind of a gang, and but he would feel her love at different moments, and he would let it in, little signs. And then one day, he was going to go in a house. This is so moving. It really brings tears to my eyes because I love this person very much. And he was going into his house, and he heard his mother's voice say, "Don't go in there." And he didn't know where that came from because he had never really heard her voice before, just her love. And again, he was kind of moving to go there, and she's like, "Don't go in there." And he didn't go in, and it turned out that everybody in that house got killed.
Wow.
That I guess it was machine guns or something, but everybody in the house got killed, and his whole life turned around at that moment. And he took a very, very different path. And so, you know, had he not paid attention to the small little signs at first, who knows, you know, if he would have heard this very strong voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to encourage people to just go with it. Go with your intuitive hits.
Yes. Absolutely. Trust. And the thing is you may not know what this information means, the how, when, why, what, where aspects, but very important that you acknowledge it. And you do have free will, so you can choose whether or not to. But just in that instance that you were sharing, Annie, that he obviously felt that he needed to listen and ultimately saved his life.
Yeah, it actually saved his life. So I think it's important for us to just be open a little. What does Billy say? Something like, you know, I Annie, am not here to like convince anybody. Billy always tells me, just tell the story, let people make up their minds. But perhaps if they hear the story and they hear, you know, about the proofs that you were given, they could open their mind just a tiny, tiny bit, like a maybe. Like maybe there are other worlds, and maybe we are eternal. And that maybe is a big, big step. It's a big way from no way. And so just opening little by little, I think can lead to changing your whole world. Because the truth is, if you really start to know that you're a divine eternal being right now with so much more potential than you have ever imagined, that not only will you have a better death when the time comes, but like you say, your fear of death will lessen and you'll have a much better life as well.
And it all goes back to also being in this present moment. And I think it's very important to encourage people to, you know, live their bucket list every day. Don't wait until you know that your time is coming to an end or you put things off because you don't have time or don't have money or some other reason. I think that it's very important that you make that conscious effort every day to do those things that really make you happy, to allow you to live and to stop existing, to just be present, but to enjoy every moment of being you.
To enjoy every moment, even the moments that aren't the way you want them to be.
Exactly.
Even when
they're going to change.
What?
They're going to change. Change is inevitable. So those moments that are challenging and not as we hope them to be, they're going to change if we don't focus and get caught up in those challenging times.
Yes, that's so beautiful because what does Billy say? Like, you know, Maya means illusion, but what does that all really mean? It means that it's all temporary.
Yes.
it's just constantly changing, and you may not love this minute, but hopefully the next minute will be different. It will be different,
exactly.
And you really
exactly.
don't know. Just like when my chiropractic practice, something that I went to school to learn for years and years and years and invested time and money, when that didn't work out, it seemed like a great tragedy. But actually, it led me to a very unexpected place that I couldn't even imagine.
Exactly.
You know, so you don't always have to know exactly where you're going, because your life may have great surprises in store for you.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know.
Because
if you give your best to the moment, and also Billy says, you know, you don't have to pretend that you love what's going on. That's very helpful. You know, it's natural to prefer pleasurable things over things that, you know, are really difficult. But when I'm going through really, really hard things, Billy always says, okay, this is calculus. This isn't just simple math.
He has a great way of putting things in perspective, doesn't he?
He does. He does. It's like, okay, calculus, honey, calculus.
Yeah.
Use your wonderful potential. Use everything you have to make something good out of this. You know, take the lemons and make lemonade. And enjoy your life as much as you can. That's really such a simple message, but very profound at the same time.
Yes, and even what you were saying earlier about the weather. And the thing is in order to have those rainbows, we have to have the rain. So it can't be sunny days every day. We've got to have all aspects.
We do, and I think that so much of our expectations really prevent us from seeing what's there and enjoying what's there and enjoying the beauty that's there. If you're hoping that everything is colored green, you know, and all you're doing is looking for the green, you might miss the beautiful yellow color that, you know, you never experienced before. So life is challenging. And stay open and make the best of things. Make the best of things, because you have strength and wisdom and intelligence beyond what you think you have.
Yes. And so, Annie, as we're finishing out today's conversation, is there anything that you feel that Billy would want the listeners to know today?
I would say that the most important thing that I could say right now is that life is an evolutionary journey, and so is death. And you're just going through all of these wonderful realms, including Earth, and take the best from them. Take the best from everything that you do, and don't be limited by other people's concepts of you or life.
Wonderful. And listeners, I invite you to visit Annie's website, anniekagan.com. You can also type in afterlifeofbillyfingers.com, and it will take you to the website. You can find her on Facebook, and the page is The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. This book is available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, as well as numerous location. So I definitely encourage you to take a moment and to make the conscious choice to change your life, to change your perspective, and listen to what Billy has to say, because this is just a beautiful opportunity to learn more about the afterlife and through his eyes, as also I'm sure, Annie, you can recognize that this has shifted your life as well in numerous ways.
It has, and I get letters all the time from people who say that Billy puts words to what they've always felt inside them about life, about spirit, and that when they have the words, it really helps them transform. So I also want to mention that there's a free chapter available on the website and on Facebook, so you could get a little sample of the kind of thing that Billy says and his great sense of humor, because although it's about death, the book is really very funny and very uplifting and very lighthearted. So, you know, you could download and see what it is we're talking about.
Wonderful. And that's a great opportunity because, as you were saying that, although it is about death, it's really about living and allowing us to live our lives fully in this present moment.
Absolutely.
Well, Annie, I appreciate this opportunity to connect with you today for this interview for Om Times. Look forward to reading the article and information in the upcoming issue of Om Times, and that is omtimes.com.
Yes, and thank you so much for having me as your guest. It was a pleasure to speak with you today.
Well, thank you very much, Annie, and I wish you a wonderful and joyous, in the moment, present state of being.
Thank you, and the same to all the listeners out there.
Thank you. Well, listeners, this concludes today's segment of The Shelley Wilson Show. Until next time, remember, this is your time. I encourage you to live an authentic life, be the best you can be, and love yourself in the process. Much love and many blessings to each of you.